This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Today on the radio show, oh, it's a busy day today. We have John Martin in the next segment. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Chris Harrington was at FedEx Forum yesterday touring the new food options, Jeffrey, at FedEx Forum.
Important work.
I don't know how much he ate. You know, sometimes I've done this tour before when they offer you samples. Are you a samples guy? You go to Costco, you doing the samples?
I'm judicious. There are certain samples I want, but I'm not the person that goes to Costco to get a free lunch.
Well, you don't want to spoil your appetite for the pizza
right.
or the hot dog.
But like when I see the chicken pad ties out there available, it's like, I'm going to give that a shot.
I like a free sample. I enjoy a free sample. I mean,
I like having the option.
I'm not sure I'm going to, a cracker. I'm going to go, I want something a little delicious.
Yeah, you say that though. I can specifically think of a time though that I was at Costco and they had like these soy sauce, like rice crackers that you wouldn't, there's no way I would have ever have gotten them. Except the sample was delicious, and I went and grabbed them.
So let me ask you this. At Chick-fil-A, just a regular Chick-fil-A.
All right.
Not not the FedEx Forum Chick-fil-A. Is the spicy chicken sandwich more than the regular chicken sandwich?
I think slightly, but I don't
Look it up. Look it up. See if you can look it up, because at FedEx Forum, it's a buck more to get the spicy chicken sandwich than the regular chicken sandwich. I never realized, I guess the spice is expensive. A buck more for the spice? I teeter between the two anyway. And so I think, given the extra dollar, I'll save the dollar and I'll get a regular chicken sandwich. At FedEx Forum, the Chick-fil-A sandwich will be $8.99. The spicy chicken sandwich, which is really kind of amazing. And it's just concession prices are concession prices. They're not real. This is fantasy land. It's like Disneyland prices, whatever. The spicy chicken sandwich is $9.99. Now, I love a Chick-fil-A sandwich, but it's kind of a thin little sandwich. Like, it's not a robust, massive dinner of a sandwich, and it's $9.99. The fries, those waffle fries, Jeffrey, did you see how much they were at FedEx Forum?
$4.50.
$3.99.
Okay.
$3.99. Chick-fil-A sandwich, $8.99. The spicy Chick-fil-A sandwich, $9.99. If you want the fries, $3.99. Although you can get a box meal, which consists of a sandwich, potato chips, and a cookie for $15.99.
Don't sleep on the Chick-fil-A chocolate chip cookie.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
I didn't see any reference to the milkshake. It's a limited Chick-fil-A menu, and the milkshakes are fantastic. And I didn't see any reference to them having the milkshakes, but the milkshakes at Chick-fil-A are fantastic. Anyway, I digressed. Chris Harrington joins us straight up at 10 o'clock, and then Sam Hardiman will join us after that. After that, he had a couple pieces that are worth talking about. One is XAI, in addition to bringing the mega computer, whatever the heck we're calling it, a thing of compute. They've leased another 500 acres,
yeah, I believe.
And I saw Sam in the office the other day at the Daily Memphian, and I said, well, does this mean they're going to have more than just computers? Does this mean they're actually going to make room for people? Because it doesn't feel like computers need 500 acres. So we'll clarify that with Sam. He also had a piece where he it was a slightly depressing piece, I'll be honest, where he was, you could see crime rates measured by different fashions, whatever, different organizations, and looking at different numbers and seeing what they mean.
Are you talking like industries? Is that what you're saying? Like,
no, he's talking about in the city of Memphis. And what he did was he looked at what's coming through the doors of local hospitals. gotcha. Terms of violent crime rates.
Yeah, yeah.
And that does seem like it would be accurate, doesn't it?
Oh,
like,
I've always thought that's more accurate than the like reporting right now that we're
they're
seeing.
They're dealing with the what's actually walking through the door.
Correct.
And if you got shot in the stomach, you go to the hospital.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't decide whether to report that or not, right? You go to the hospital. And so we'll talk to Sam about those, both of those stories. So we got John Martin. We got Chris Harrington.
All right. I have your answer.
Oh, good. Of course. I count on you. I knew you'd have my answer.
So based on every Chick-fil-A is not the same, but the best.
But they're all high quality.
A decent barometer would be the spicy chicken sandwich is about 35 cents more.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So you pay that stadium inflation tax. Yeah, that's about right.
So anyway, so as I mentioned, John Martin, Chris Harrington, Sam Hardiman. But then a special bonus on this Wednesday, Richard Shadyac Jr., who is the president and CEO of ALSAC, which is the fundraising and awareness arm of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. He's going to be joining me here in just a little bit when we get him on the phone to talk about the St. Jude Tip-Off Classic, which is next Tuesday, Jeffrey. It is bearing down upon us. And so Rick Shadyac is going to join us here in just a little bit to talk about that. Obviously, the big story across the country, whether it pertains to sports or humanity, is Milton bearing its way down on Florida. And tonight and in the wee hours will be arriving full force, although the weather is everything, all the airports and everything's closed down there. And I'm sure anyone, you all have been following this one way or another. I guess the good news, to the extent there is any good news, is that the trajectory, and I'm warned by every meteorologist that you watch on all the channels that you watch, that this could change. But the trajectory is somewhat south of Tampa Bay, of Tampa at this point. It's not good news if you're in Sarasota, but the mass of people, I'm not even talking about the football game. There are more people in Tampa. And so a much denser population center more stuff to ruin in Tampa. But people are still talking about a 15-foot storm surge. And you've seen, I'm sure, the scenes of people evacuating. So again, we don't know where it will hit. Right now it feels like a little more, to the south of Tampa, although that is subject to change. Is this a place, Jeffrey, that you visit? Where do you go when you're not going to the, do you always go to the Gulf? Do you always go to like the Destin area?
When we go to the beach, we go to the.
You don't have you ever been to Sarasota?
I've been to Tampa, but I've not been to Sarasota. I've gone to.
I guess I've been to Tampa for a Super Bowl. I covered a Super Bowl or two. Maybe
there was a beach. It was called Hammock Beach. It was like in between Jacksonville and Daytona. That was nice.
I went to one USF game. So anyway, we obviously hope for the best and wish. Anyone in harm's way the best, and it will be it will be calamity when it hits, and so there's really no good news here in terms of the smaller universe of the football game, which we have talked about, which was moved to Saturday. I don't know if the fact that the trajectory is somewhat to the south of Tampa makes it significantly more likely that the game will be played. It does seem to make it at least somewhat more likely that the game will be played. Obviously, if there is a disaster across the state of Florida and it's 30 miles to the south or 40 miles to the south,
roads
are closed and airports are closed and the first responders have their hands full and whatever else, still hard to imagine putting on a football game. It always seemed inconceivable when they moved it from Friday to Saturday that this football game would go on. I don't know. Does the fact that the trajectory, again, subject to change, that the trajectory suggests it's going to be to the south of Tampa, and I'm now becoming a meteorologist the way we do. You know, we all became immunologists during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're all meteorologists. I am keenly aware now, Jeffrey, that the storm surge tends to be obviously where the eye is, but then to the south of that is where the most significant storm surge is. So if the hurricane hits to the south of Tampa, obviously where it comes ashore, there will be a massive storm surge.
Yeah.
And then to the south of that, there will be a very large storm surge. And to the north, there will still be a storm surge, but it will be, according to my newly acquired knowledge.
Yes, Jeff watched The Perfect Storm.
It will be less. I didn't, actually. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's good?
I think everyone did.
The Perfect Storm, the movie?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I didn't watch it because I had this feeling that they died in the end.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was actually a true story. So we did know the ending.
Yeah, I didn't feel like watching that one.
Uh-huh.
Didn't feel like it was going to be uplifting for me. Anyway, do you think there's any greater likelihood that the game will go on?
I think it's slightly increased. I would still say it seems unlikely to me.
Charles, at one point when I saw that the trajectory was to the south, I texted Charles. I was not being serious. I said, "So, game on."
Absolutely.
Exclamation point.
I'm sure he loved that.
And he he said, "If that game goes on, I'll do a handstand live on Fish on Friday on Tuesday." So we got that.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to get some video footage.
It's not normally a video segment. It's more of an audio segment that we do every week with Charles Fishman. I'm Ryan in Washington, D.C. But if that game goes ahead, I'll do a handstand live on Fish on Friday on Tuesday. So there you go. That is that news. We do have other things to get to, including the GM survey. The NBA GM survey. Have you spent much time on that on your other show, Jeffrey?
Not yet, no.
There wasn't. So the NBA.com does a general manager survey every year where they ask a million questions about the upcoming NBA season. And what's really striking about this NBA survey is how little the Grizzlies come up.
Out of sight, out of mind.
They do the one place where they rank number one, easily number one, the one place where they rank number one is what team will be most improved this year.
Really went out on a limb there, guys.
Well, I mean, it does show there is at least some appreciation of the ravages of injuries last year. Number two in that category was San Antonio. But that's like your normal organic improvement when you have a superstar player.
Yeah.
Grizzlies is a totally different sort of improvement. But 67%, they got 67% of the first base votes as most improved. And then you had some Joss stuff that we'll get into. But like even best interior defender, for example, you might think Jaren, right? You might think Jaren,
yeah,
would be in the top three or something.
I mean, the thing about Jaren though is it's like so much of his defense is like when I think interior defender, I just think of like best shot blocker or like best.
Well,
like,
he is a great shot blocker.
Correct, but it's like
he's also blocking threes.
But
you know,
like
he's
best
blocking.
Big,
yes,
defender.
He did get others receiving votes in that category. Marcus Smart got some other receiving vote in best defender and in best perimeter defender. But basically, we're not particularly highly mentioned.
I'm all this is great news to me.
In any of this. Are you like the under the radar?
Not only under the radar. I think this team is undeniable. This team functions much better when they are slighted.
They were picked, although they are not embracing the slighted. They're not embracing that at all. They were picked to
publicly.
Finish where?
Publicly.
Where, Jeffrey, were they picked to finish? You tell me. Where do you imagine?
In the West?
This is the general managers in the West. Where do you imagine they were picked to finish?
10th.
What?
I'm just saying, everything you said has been very negative.
Where would you put, where do you think, you don't, I'm not holding you to it. Season doesn't start yet. Where would you, who would you pick to finish ahead of them? Where would you pick them to finish?
Can you tell me how many games Josh's going
to
play?
No, you don't get the advantage of that. You have to put that in your projections. It's part of the peril of making these projections.
I'm going to say fourth.
And so who would you pick ahead of them?
Because to me, I think they're going to avoid the play-in, and I think their ceiling's the two. So therefore, I'm splitting the difference, and I'm going for
And who would you have ahead of them?
Oklahoma City.
Who else? You're having them fourth, so who else you having?
Well, I'm saying I think they're in the cluster.
I think the cluster of two
through six, so you're going to have some combination of Minnesota, some combination of Dallas, of the Grizzlies, and I'll probably say, I'll say the Kings.
What are you doing with the Suns in there?
Who is going to make them stay healthy?
So you would not have the Suns.
No.
So, but ahead of them, you need three teams ahead of them. If you're picking them fourth.
Right, but
I'm making you pick.
The way that I'm doing
it. I know, but I'm making you now decide.
Then I will say, give me the Wolves and give me the Mavs.
So you're very much.
I'm sorry, but put out the Kings, the Nuggets, obviously.
You're very much in the Nuggets. So you're not picking the Nuggets to finish ahead of them because you have the Grizzlies to finish fourth.
Correct.
So you have Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Dallas, and then the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And you're very much like an NBA general manager. They picked Oklahoma City, number one, Minnesota, Denver, and Dallas. Next, fairly closely bunched together.
Yeah.
But Memphis was not part of that bunch. So that's down, that's to four. And then Memphis, Phoenix was five, and the Grizzlies six. So the Grizzlies avoiding the play-in, but general managers have the Grizzlies as six. Also, for example, best young core, that used to be a category where the Grizzlies would rank highly every single year, no longer. Grizzlies are not mentioned in best young core. They're really a middle-aged core now. Anyway, right? Whatever you think of the core.
I mean, by NBA standards.
It's really more of a NBA core. And then finally, before we get to Rick Shadyac, we'll get him on here in just a moment. We had some interesting baseball last night. But then we also have more reporting on the Jets situation. As we know, Robert Saleh was fired yesterday. Replaced by Jeff Ulbrich, the beloved defensive coordinator, evidently.
They always are.
I always are, of the Jets. And the reporting, if you're just believing the institutional reporting, is Woody Johnson took upon himself to do this by himself. He was particularly mortified by the loss to Denver. Then they go lose in London. Woody Johnson was once the ambassador to the UK, embarrassed in front of his British friends, and decided to fire Robert Saleh on his own. That is one version of the story. You have heard more Aaron Rodgers implicated versions of the story.
So I think it's a lot of evidence that points to Aaron Rodgers, but nothing specifically that they can pin it on Aaron Rodgers. So Jonathan Jones of CBS reported that Robert Saleh was considering demoting Nathaniel Hackett. And when that news got out, then all of a sudden we now see Woody Johnson take action. There's been subsequent reporting later yesterday that Saleh demoted Hackett, and then the decision was made.
In favor of Todd Downing.
Correct.
Who didn't do such a great job.
I was going to say, it's not like Downing's going to get fixed.
Right, exactly. Well, it is one of the interesting things here, is normally in this situation, what you would see is teams struggling. You look at the team, and what's wrong with the team? What's wrong with the team is the defense has been fine. Not maybe as good as it people,
yeah,
as you've legendarily wanted
yeah, this
them
is
to
not
be.
The 85 the Bears, but it's a good, solid
fine.
Defense.
The offense, through five games, the Jets have scored as many points as last year when Zach Wilson was the quarterback. So what you typically would do, we saw this in Buffalo last year, what you do in this situation, defense doing fine, offense struggling, particularly offense struggling, and they have some weapons. They got a wide receiver. They got a first-round running back. They got a running back. They got a legendary quarterback. What's the problem? What you do is you throw the offensive coordinator overboard. That's what you do.
Yes.
But they can't.
Correct.
They can't. And so that's why the head coach had to go. So whether, honestly, Aaron Rodgers, his bloody hands are all over this or not, the structure that is set up around Aaron Rodgers, which is you can't fire Nathaniel Hackett, he's the one you would fire, so you have to head the head coach, all of that is because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
All right. Let's see if we can get Rick Shadyac again. We've got the St. Jude event coming up next week, and Joined now by Richard Shadyac Jr. He is the president and CEO of ALSAC, the fundraising and awareness arm of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Of course, that miraculous place here in Memphis that takes care of kids with cancer without asking for a single penny of payment. Next Tuesday, we're going to have the first St. Jude Tip-Off Classic as the North Carolina Tar Heels are coming to Memphis to play the Memphis Tiger Men. And South Carolina and Dawn Staley, that elite team, are going to be part of the doubleheader, and they're going to play the Memphis Women. This is happening next Tuesday, the St. Jude Tip-Off Classic. And I am joined now by Rick Shadyac. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you today, okay?
I'm great. So how did this wonderful event come to pass?
A lot of hard work. How about that, man? But, you know, I think everything aligned. So this was a product of us working very, very closely with the University of Memphis and leveraging some contacts that we had. And what the vision has been that we were trying to create a basketball tournament here in Memphis, Tennessee, that this would be an annual event. And ultimately create kind of a destination tournament like Coaches Against Cancer, Maui Classic. I know people go, Maui, come on, Rick, this is in Hawaii. I love Memphis, okay? And I think people need to see all the great cultural things that we have here, the great restaurants that we have here, the great vibe that makes Memphis what it is. And we're a basketball city. I mean, this is Hoop City, right? So let's get out and celebrate hoops and also do good with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So the goal is to make this a regular season game next year. And we want to involve both the ladies program and the men's program.
That is a lofty aspiration. I mean, it is interesting that you not only said, let's do this great event, but you said you're pretty open about it. Like the goal is to make this a regular season event and an annual event. Is it, I don't know, like, is it risky to put yourself out there saying that this is the ambition for this city and for the hospital and for the university and the community?
So the answer is yeah. I mean, but here at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and at ALSAC, we take big swings, Jeff. Right. If you didn't take a big swing to try to cure childhood cancer, we wouldn't have a 94% survival rate for leukemia today. It was 4% when we opened the doors. People told Danny Thomas this was going to be impossible, right? People are telling us this is going to be impossible. But guess what? Next week, in 6 days, UNC, the University of North Carolina, a top 10 ranked basketball team, the number one ranked team in South Carolina, ladies team, is coming to Memphis to play our Tigers. So that's a pretty gigantic step toward the realization of this dream. And if the Memphis community can get behind this, I think that we can show ESPN, college basketball, and the powers that be that this can ultimately become an annual event and a destination event.
Yeah, that part is not insignificant. If the Memphis community can get behind it, and obviously you want as many people to show up. It's funny, you look back at the 1970s, people used to talk about how back when Memphis was aspiring to be an NFL city, how people would pack the Liberty Bowl. And that ultimately led to naught. But the enthusiasm of Memphians to stand up for the future of Memphis is something that people still talk about. And you need a little bit of that right now, I take it.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. And I think basketball is a little bit different. I think when you throw in St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, you're mixing a couple of really great institutions. Basketball is what this city is really renowned for, besides kind of rock and roll and the blues and things like that. But, I mean, I think that you can see the community unites around the Tigers. The community unites around the Grizzlies. So let's put this thing on and let's show the world that we can host a basketball tournament.
You mentioned the downtown part of this, bringing people like you could. St. Jude has enough of a reputation that you could stage this tournament in Los Angeles or New York or literally anywhere in the country or maybe the world. You chose to want to do it here in Memphis. Why?
Well, I think St. Jude Children's Research Hospital thrives because it is in Memphis, Tennessee. I mean, we could be a little dot in LA or Boston, but you know, we're a big deal in Memphis, okay? And the community embraces us. I don't know whether or not communities that were substantially bigger with different kind of cultures and ethos would embrace the pediatric cancer patients the way that our community does. And I say that with the utmost of respect to all the other communities. But what I've witnessed here in the 60 plus years that St. Jude has been here is that our community welcomes these kids, these families. I hear all the time from our families about restaurants that don't charge them. I hear all the time about community members that invite people over, families over to their homes to have dinner. They serve and they bring meals to people at Target House and now increasingly to Domino's Village. They just embrace everything that we're about, including volunteering for the many, many events that we do every single year. Just think about the Memphis St. Jude Marathon, Jeff, and the number of people that it takes to put that on, and we're hosting 25,000 people in our city. And there's a reason why people come back year after year after year, because it's a great experience and they enjoy Memphis.
I was going to ask you about that, because that similarly was a big swing. I guess when it started a fairly modest enterprise, and now it is a massive event, both in its fundraising impact on St. Jude, but also all those folks streaming into the city. And I imagine you're hoping that this event can grow like that event. What has been the history of growth with the St. Jude Marathon?
In the marathon, you got to think about, when I got here back in 2009, we were raising maybe $2 million at that event. We're going to approach $20 million this year. Maybe we had a couple thousand runners, and now we're up to about 25,000 runners. So, it's exponential growth, but it does show that the community embraces us and people from all around the United States and now the world, Jeff. Come and want to run in this marathon. It's been named one of the most fun half marathons in the country because of the way the community shows up, right? And hands out beer or shots. It's a very, very different run. I go to some cities where we have other endurance type events, and it's just not the same vibe.
Talking to Richard Chadiak Jr., he, of course, is the president and CEO of ALSAC. Next Tuesday, the St. Jude Tip-Off Classic, as the University of North Carolina comes to town to play the Memphis Men, and the University of South Carolina comes to town to play the Memphis Women. I'll wrap here in a second. I do think it's worth noting every dollar of ticket sales goes to St. Jude.
That is correct. Every dollar. And it ensures that no family will ever receive a bill from St. Jude, not for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so mom and dad can focus on getting their child better.
And then finally, it's cool that the Tar Heels are coming. Memphis has never played North Carolina. They played them in a secret scrimmage, but really that's obviously one of the elite brands. But I love the fact that the South Carolina women are coming. Dawn Staley has a relationship with St. Jude. That was an important part of this, to include the women's programs in this doubleheader?
It is. I mean, I think women's sports is on the rise, especially women's basketball. And Dawn Staley, you don't get any bigger than Dawn, and Dawn is a big fan of St. Jude, and I know she wants to do something for St. Jude Children's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Research Hospital, and I bet you we went over Hubert Davis as well, just like Penny. We will. And Penny Hardaway is an incredible supporter. He brought the team, Jeff, on Monday. Uh-huh. I got a chance to meet with all the men on Monday, and the women were here last week. So you can just get a real strong sense that people are getting behind this, and the teams are excited. When I talked to the men on Monday, you could see how excited they were to play North Carolina.
Well, thanks for doing it. Thanks for taking the big swing, and best of luck with it, Rick. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Jeff. We'll see you there, okay?
Yeah,
take
sure
care.
Thing. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
So there you go. I'm impressed by the big swing. It's funny. Occasionally, someone came at me on Twitter, because we talked about it on Gabe's show, about why you're trying to sell push. Because it's good for Memphis. You know, it's pretty simple. Like, I think it's a great event for Memphis. And not only is it a great event for Memphis, it has promise of being an event going forward for Memphis that will be meaningful. And so, yeah, I make no apologies for getting behind good things in Memphis. And then someone else asked me just now, why are tickets cost what they cost for a scrimmage? And the answer is twofold, really. One is, I talked to Alsak about this. Tickets are priced basically as if it's a regular season Tigers game. That's what the tickets prices were pricing was based on. Because two reasons. One is you got North Carolina coming in here. You got South Carolina coming in here. Like it is a, sure, it's a scrimmage. But let me ask you, like, which is more interesting, that or a game against Rice?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
This is by far.
Like, to me, it's not even close. It's the first look at the Tigers, and you've got them against elite teams that will be in the building as compared to, honestly, the question is why are they charging what they're charging for regular season conference games, I would say is the bigger challenge. But then secondly, every single penny is going to St. Jude.
Yeah.
Literally. That should take care of it right there. Literally every single penny of the ticket sales is going to St. Jude. So there you have it. Anyway, we're going to talk to John Martin on the other side. Then we have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He was he toured the FedEx Forum food. What do you do for food at FedEx Forum?
Depending on where we sit, I usually, more times than not, Rendezvous is kind of my standard.
So Rendezvous, did you happen to see what Rendezvous nachos cost? It's the thing. Rendezvous nachos are like the thing. My son Peter always gets the Rendezvous.
Yeah, I mean that's
it's what, just there.
We do that and we'll do a sausage and cheese.
Unbelievably good.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess probably around $20 now.
And they're at this point, well then you'll be surprised. Only a mere $14.99.
That's a win.
Which would you rather have? A Chick-fil-A box, which is a sandwich, chips, and a cookie.
So not the fries.
Chips.
They do those waffle potato chips.
A sandwich, potato chips, and a cookie, or barbecue nachos.
Barbecue nachos.
Agree. And the cookie thing is $15.99, the box. The barbecue nachos, $14.99. Rock and Dough slice of pizza. What do you think that is?
Ten.
Nine.
Okay.
Look at this. It's all coming in low for you. How about Taco and Ganas? Of course, they have the fabulous taco trucks all around town, including one very close to here that I now frequent practically every week. How much for each individual taco at Taco and Ganas?
So this is where I'm kind of doing that, because Taco and Ganas can kind of get in the wallet.
It can. It's not cheap.
So I'm trying to do
Taco and Ganas to begin with, yeah. And then putting in the FedEx Forum upcharge. But how much can you with a straight face? A taco is just a taco.
Yeah, I'm going to say $7.
$5.99.
Okay.
You're very consistently
overshooting. I'm a dollar off.
A dollar off in pretty much everything. Anyway, there you have it.
To be clear, I'm a fan of Taco and Ganas. I'm just saying. Like,
it's delicious.
It's a lot like Las Tortugas. They're both amazing, but I do know that they can be steep.
If I'm hungry and I'm going, I get two barbacoa and two shrimp. And they ask me with cheese. They want cheese on them. And what do you think I say?
Oh, yeah.
Of course I want cheese.
Who doesn't?
Who do you want cheese? Absolutely fantastic. All right. If you need something framed, sports memorabilia, wedding photos, anything that means a lot to you, memories you want preserved forever, displayed on your wall, handed down to your kids, head on into the Frame Corner, because that's what they do. They'll sell you a frame. They're right there on the Park Avenue. They'll walk in those beautiful frames. But in addition, what they really specialize in is custom framing. And you probably have some stuff. I've been meaning to get, you know, her soccer jersey framed and displayed. How about for Christmas?
What a thoughtful gift.
What a thought. Because that's what it is. It's not only a great gift. It is a thoughtful gift. Because you had to plan a little bit ahead to get something framed. So someone in your life, if they want something, need something framed, or you want to preserve a memory for someone, start thinking about that. But anything you need custom framed, Frame Corner Memphis would be the place to go. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. John Martin next, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John, Martin, John, and Jason and John every single day from 11 to 2, except for this week when it's just John holding down the fort because Jason is gallivanting around Chicago. Seems to be the good luck charm for his Bears, though, doesn't he? Either that or the Panthers.
Yeah, that always helps. But, you know, that's why you do it, man. That's why you go to a game. You go to a game to see your team, not in some dramatic climax, you know, maybe they win, maybe they lose. No. You go because you want to see them take the damn crap out of
somebody. I believe in that. I believe in – okay, let me ask you this, though. In terms of buying tickets to see a game with your kids, do you just pick the easiest game you can, or do you pick a high-profile team? I want them to see – Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Like, if you had a choice, the Raiders were playing the Chiefs or the Raiders were playing the Panthers, and you could buy tickets for your kid to go, you and Dom, to go to the game someday, the equivalent, which would you do?
Well, the problem is,
What are you eating, by the way? Help us understand what you're eating during this radio segment. I just went to the vending machines here in the building, and guess what? They're gone. We have no vending machine. So what are you eating?
Gum? I just spit it out.
Gum.
We haven't had vending machines since like last December.
Well, I just noticed. Gum. I never knew you'd be a gum chewer.
The problem is, well, you know, I like to have fresh breath. I just took this harassment course at Odyssey.
If I'm going to do it,
I might as well have fresh breath.
You just took the harassment class now?
I took it this morning, yeah. Me and Larry Ray were the last two standing. I said, I'm not going to let Larry Ray beat me.
Let me ask you this. When you took the little quiz at the end, did you get 100% right away, or did they have to send you back?
No, I got 60. I missed one. The two I missed was if you hear rumors.
I missed the same one. So here's the question. The question is, people, put yourself in we take sexual harassment very seriously here at Odyssey, and we make everyone take a class. And so here, the question is, what would be, what would occasion an appropriate, what would be a real reason, a good reason to go to HR with a harassment issue and with a harassment complaint? And the choices were because you experienced sexual harassment, because you witnessed sexual harassment, because you heard a rumor of sexual harassment. What was the fourth one? The fourth one was...
No, that's it.
That was it. And what's the right answer? And everyone I know checked the first two, but not the third one. Why would you go to HR for a rumor? It's had nothing to do with you.
Exactly.
I had to go back and take that again.
Yeah, me too. But you know what? I mean...
If I'm hearing rumors, you people are in trouble. Because yeah, every rumor, I'm going to HR.
Honestly, has no burden of proof, clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, you just hear something, you're like, you know, I'm telling.
Back to the question at hand.
Real quick, my wife this morning heard me taking it, and she goes, "Did you harass somebody at work? Is that why you're having to take this?" I'm like,
remedial education.
Yeah. I said, "Who the hell am I going to harass?" There's, she said, "Jeff."
There's no women around here. Not that they has to be
no.
women.
Not I said, no, we I'm not harassing Jeff, honey. Don't worry.
Yeah, there is that. Okay. Chiefs or Panthers? You want to see the Raiders? Which one do you want to see them play? Take Dom. First game.
Well, the problem is they lost to both, or will lose to both.
Yeah, but I take the easy. I want to go see them win. I just think there's nothing
I would rather, yes. Yeah, A, because, you know, my son, I mean, you haven't stipulated the age here, but I don't think he's going to care.
No. I'm talking about when he's nine, you know, when he's 8 or 9.
You don't want to risk him
becoming a Chiefs fan. You wouldn't want that for the poor.
Yeah, that's true. That's an unintended consequence there. So I would definitely take the Panthers route every time.
Take your kid to see the Grizzlies play the Bobcats. Don't take him to see them play the Warriors or you know, Any other?
The Bobcats are the Bobcats don't exist anymore. So
right, I know.
You know, we've got to get you out.
Okay, sorry, it's the 70s. Everything I say is from the 1970s. The Hornets. The Hornets. They keep changing, man. So here's my question for you: how are you feeling about Milton? And have you changed your? You took a very hard line stance against them playing this game. You went out on a big limb.
Yeah.
And how you feeling out on your limb now? You're willing to apologize?
Well, I'm actually here, so I'm going to come in studio and I'm going to marinate on that question. I'll see you in 4 seconds.
We're gonna have a little break here where we can play the Jeopardy music.
The other good thing
and
is
I contemplate the name of NBA teams.
I think, in fairness to you, the Bobcats isn't the 70s. The Bobcats was like
That's pretty current.
15
for me.
Years ago,
like, that's pretty current for me.
That's pop culture for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. That's cutting edge for me.
I do think
Hornets, Bobcats.
I think you're right.
Whatever.
You can't risk your kid going to the game being like, why don't we root for this team?
Yeah, no.
Like, that's way better.
You cannot do that. You gotta take them to see a W where Ja's going off, and they'll love Ja and the Grizzlies forever. That's the point. I had to go through a period with Ben where he was a Steelers fan.
Oof.
He was through a lot of his youth. He was a Steelers fan, but somehow he came around, and now he just lives and dies with the Bills. He's going to the Jets game Monday. Hey, now look, John's in studio wearing a Raiders.
What up?
Regalia.
That's right, man.
It's also a tough situation for Ben because after Sunday, you're probably thinking this is a good time to go to the Jets game.
Well, no.
But now they get the interim coach bump.
So interim coach bump. Here's the stats since 2000. After a firing, after a coach firing, the team that has had the coach fired is 16-13. And given that they just fired
correct.
The coach.
That's usually a bad team.
It's a bad team.
Yes.
So those coaches win.
I guarantee their ATS number's way better.
Those teams win at a much higher level with the new coach bump than they do beforehand. John.
Hey.
Milton.
Yeah.
Is that Memphis USF game going to be played?
I don't think so. No, I don't.
It's coming to the south.
Oh, did it change direction?
Just a little.
Okay, it did change a little bit. Well, I mean,
it's more like Sarasota now.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
it was before.
If that happens, then
it's still going to be a colossal mess.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how it's all going to play out, right? We don't know what
We won't know until you wake up in the morning, right? They won't know
right.
to even start surveying.
Right,
and they
got to
put those people on the plane Friday. I mean, obviously the game isn't the most important thing.
No, it isn't important at all.
It really isn't important at all.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even decide anything in the conference. Like, unfortunately for Memphis.
It might.
It ain't.
At this moment.
It ain't.
They're clinging to it like it will.
Well, and they should, but, you know, I mean, it won't. But that's me talking. That's not, you know, Ryan Silverfield. So I understand, you know.
This is like, though, when I kept telling Jeff last year when the Bills, like with 7 games to go, I even mapped out the road. I was like, there's still a path.
That's true. He did.
Yeah.
That's true. Do you.
The path for Memphis is a little more complicated.
It is because Army schedule's so.
Yep.
Do you think it's so soft? Do you think that the collective might of 92.9 as an influencer, as a megaphone through the city can get more people to go to that St. Jude tip-off classic?
I mean, no, not really us alone. I mean, I think we'll help and we want to help, you know, and I think we sort of feel.
You do want to help.
Well, I.
How do you feel about that?
I am going to sound extremely sour when I say this. I'm going to sound sour when I say this. I'm prefacing
it. Get ready to bleep him out.
I'm prefacing it.
Okay, go ahead.
I know that everybody that's in this building agrees. Memphis' strategy of who they choose to go through for promotions and goodwill in the community and things of that nature is completely misguided. They go to the wrong people. They don't come here. They go to the wrong. Now, they did come here for for Ed Scott. I will say that. They did come here.
We had Ed Scott here.
Yes. But that's the first time
on this very
station. The first time basically ever. And the first time in a long time. I just think like there's a very real.
You sound more self-serving than sour.
Well, fine.
You're like
self-serving, sour, whatever.
We get dramatically better ratings than any other talk show, certainly in the city.
That's right.
So if you're having people talk and you want to be heard, you would think.
You could say that's self-serving. You could also
argue that it should be everywhere.
Well, exactly.
Be everywhere.
You don't have to choose one or the other, But they have, and they do often. You know, Ryan Silverfield only appears on another station. He doesn't come on here. I've asked. He won't do this. Again, choice, right? A choice by everybody involved. But understand that you're not reaching the amount of people that you would like to reach. In fact, you're reaching a fraction. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. And you can, and I can throw you any metric you want to see. But it's like, where is sort of the, you know, where is sort of the awareness sort of institutionally that, hey, maybe we're like strategically doing this the wrong way. And I think as it relates to the St. Jude, obviously you had a guest on today. You had,
but it's interesting that it's the St. Jude folks.
It's the St. Jude
it's not,
folks.
It's not Penny. Memphis,
not Penny. It's not, you know,
players.
Exactly. Like Penny, this is, this has to be him.
It's from.
I think the problem now with players is players want to get paid to be appear.
Oh, and look, that's fair. I mean, we don't pay guests here as a policy, you know. But this is so important that you know, it needs to be, the responsibility needs to be felt by Penny, because he's the one guy who could come out and say, Memphis, we know that our home schedule after the month of December is brutal. We know that. We know we play in a terrible league, or he might say it's a good league. I don't know. But we know we want better. So if we want better, then we need you at this event. It's North Carolina. It's the first time Memphis has ever played North Carolina. I know the tickets are higher than what maybe people would have liked, but all of the money is going to St. Jude, and it's one of the biggest brands in college basketball, and it's your first chance to see us. So come out. Support. Maybe we can turn this thing into something very special in the regular season every single year, but we need you there. And it's not happening. It's not happening. So
does he have that kind of power anymore?
Yes, absolutely. In Memphis, Tennessee, that's not going to change.
By the way, someone asked me that. Why are you charging regular season? And as Jeffrey and I said, which is a more interesting event? This event, seeing North Carolina, It is an exhibition, and then the South Carolina women, and the first glimpse of this team, et cetera, or a game against Rice during the regular season.
Yeah, no, I mean,
this is bigger.
It is bigger.
An event.
I have no problem, you know, because all the money goes to St. Jude, right? I mean, all of the money.
That's the answer in the end. It's just a donation. The money all goes to St. Jude,
and you get a chance to see your team play North Carolina. You know, and so that may never happen again. But 5,000 tickets, it's depressing. It's depressing. Now, again, I do put some of this on Memphis because, you know, Penny has not been beaten
down
the
doors. Here's the truth. You say 5,000 tickets is depressing. It's why when this happened, Gabe said, I think it's going to be a sellout.
Right.
I said, I think 10,000 would be great.
I didn't think it was going to be a sellout.
And Gabe said, it's going to be a sellout. I said, 10,000 would be great. Because what happens is that, and you see this with the when the NCAA, when the conference tournament comes here.
Right.
Memphis has a hard time. People may not realize this. They don't get 6,000 people in the seats or 7,000 for most regular season games.
Yeah.
They don't. That's not what they draw. And there, they're starting with a season ticket base.
Yeah.
So they're starting probably not much of one anymore, but a season ticket base.
Sure.
And so you only have to, here you're starting from scratch. And so to get from scratch to 7,500,
right,
which is 7,500 is the more, it's how many people went to that Alabama game that was so ballyhooed two years ago now, whatever that was.
Yeah.
What, it was about 8,000 people were in the building.
And it felt big.
And it felt big. Yeah. So if you get 7, 8, whatever, it actually can feel pretty big.
It can, yeah.
And you started from zero, and they started late. Here's
the truth. They started pretty late.
They started late because not anyone's fault.
It was announced when, like August?
They had to, it was announced the week after Penny fired all the coaches.
Well, I don't know when that was.
No. So, when was that?
I think that was the first week of September, wasn't it?
It was in September. So they had to work it out.
A month.
They had to work it out with ESPN. They had to work it out with the NIL stuff.
Right.
They had to work it out with all of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus, then, honestly, I would imagine that the week that Penny was firing everybody, and you had the letter, the NCAA letter come out.
Who wasn't in the mood?
I bet they were wondering whether to do it or not.
Right.
You know, so they're putting this together on the fly at the end.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
But, you know,
the end of the world is, you know, by the way, I got a text, and I don't know whether this person wants me to say who it is, but I just got a text from someone. I won't say it because my parents couldn't evacuate because they don't have any gas anywhere. They aren't in an evacuation zone, but they are right on the fringe. Storm turned to go right at them. I won't hear from them for days because the cell towers are going to go down. I don't even like thinking about a game being played anywhere near there. And I know there are certainly other people that don't either. Are they going to have fuel to get them to like the stadium, hotel, et cetera? Even that's true too. Like using
For the generators, yeah.
Using fuel for stuff, like,
yeah,
it feels almost immoral.
It does feel immoral, and I'm sure our buddy Chuck Fishman would say the same thing.
Even if it turns out to be nothing, just to have had to have treated it so callously,
yeah, I mean,
kind of immoral.
Yeah, like, I mean, first of all, it was a ham.
Ham-handed.
Yeah.
Ham-handed. I may not know bobcats, but I know, or the difference between bobcats and...
Okay, could you also say ham-fisted, too?
Ham-fisted?
Ham-fisted.
Ham-fisted, ham-handed, they're basically the same. A fist, a
yeah,
ham.
Yeah, but a fist is an active action, you know what I'm saying? Ham-handed is a little more passive.
And you can picture it. Imagine...
A ham.
Imagine your hands were transformed into two giant hams.
They could even be okay? Ham-strung.
That's a different image. Your hands, imagine, instead of those hands you have there, you've got two giant hams on there.
Hams.
And then you're trying to do something with those hams as your extremities.
I can't do anything with these hams.
Right. That's why it's
I can hit somebody over the head with them.
That's why it's called ham. That's why ham-handed or ham-fisted works.
People try to eat my ham.
Because I don't want to get at what people try to eat the hams, but you couldn't.
I love ham.
You wouldn't be very dexterous with the ham.
No, I would not be.
Trying to accomplish it would be clumsy.
It would be very clumsy.
That's why to do something with the hams.
It definitely feels ham-handed, ham-fisted to try to play this game on Saturday. And then not even at night, by the way. It's just like, it's not even 12 hours later or 24 hours later. It's like, you know, basically the, you know, 3 hours. All right, we'll push it back 3 hours.
Hey, I've been told that I'm supposed to break in time to get to this break,
okay.
Whatever. So
I'm
I'll
sorry,
be listening from 11 to 2.
This was not my best.
It was pretty good. It was not ham-handed.
It was
better.
It was not my best.
At least you got all the names right.
I'll be better next time.
As far as I could tell.
Yep.
If you're selling your house, Josh Hysa would be the one to call. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. Or joshhasthebuyers.com. It's Josh and his team at Keller Williams Realty. And we were just talking about getting the message out, right? We were talking about how important it is to get the message out. Well, that's what Josh Hysa does about your home. Like, if you take that step and put your house on the market, it can be a little nerve-wracking. And you want to make sure that your realtor is doing everything he or she can to make sure as many people are aware that that house is out there and for sale. And you see the way that, heck, Josh markets his own services. He's equally aggressive marketing your house. Jody heard us talking about Josh Hysa here on this radio show, calls him a week after listing, within a week of listing, 8 different offers on her home. It is Josh Hysa and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Phone number is 901-461-8147. joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington joins us next. Jeff Gawkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.